Welcome back, interweb friends.
That's disgusting.
What just happened?
This episode's already off to a terrible start. That's terrible.
You've never had seltzer before?
Wow. No, really. That's, I thought it was like 7-Up or something.
We just
7-Up? It's seltzer water.
It's seltzer water.
Who drinks that?
We just did a live take of Andy Wolf trying seltzer water for the first time. You know what? Let's not even cut this out.
Let's just put it in.
I'm going to get some water.
That's disturbing.
Like he had to place the cup like 10 feet away too.
And we're going to start the show with a news update just for folks at home. Seltzer is carbonated water.
It should be just used for
sometimes
mixed drinks.
Sometimes they put some artificial flavoring in it.
Yeah. Anyway, okay. This is Stop the Movie. I Want to Get Out. Hollywood makes bad movies. We make fun of them. I'm Alex Dunbar. I'm here this week with Jack Estabrook. Yeah, Cody Wolf.
Oh my God.
And Andrew Wolf.
I'm here.
I apologize for the fart humor, but it's important.
Yeah, this is a Hollywood. I mean, it had a theatrical release.
In one theater? Or?
It was pretty limited.
It was limited.
Right. Yeah, our movie this week is Spookies, which almost no one saw in the theaters, but had a pretty long life on cable TV. If you watch the USA Network from anywhere in the late 80s to the early 90s, you're familiar with this movie. USA played this non-stop. On Friday and Saturday nights, this was on all the time.
Really?
Just because it was cheap programming? Oh, I guarantee that USA Network paid them like $18 and said, like, we can air this as much as we want for the next few years. I didn't remember. Cody had talked about this movie and I didn't remember it at all, but then seeing it, I'm like, oh, I remember this being on USA, like when I was in my teens.
I just thought it was in the 80s when I got tricked by the box art.
Oh yeah, it's pretty good box art.
Wait, you saw it in the
80s? I'm pretty sure, yeah.
Well, late 80s. Yeah, I mean, I think
you must have gotten tricked again because you rented it when I was younger.
Yeah, I rented it for him one time. It's like, oh, you gotta see this movie, it's so bad, remember? That's why I rented it.
I was seeing it in the video store and
yeah, and it was so bad when I watched it in the 80s, and then I remember being so crappy that I said, you got to see this movie. It's so freaking bad.
So you've seen this movie like 4 times now.
3. This is the 3rd time. I did not want to watch it again.
Wow.
The box art isn't bad, really.
It's good 80s box
art.
Yeah, it is. Yeah. That's what got me.
It at least looks intriguing.
So the movie is called Spookies, and right as the credits came up, I saw that there were two people. It said director... director, singular, of photography, and then 2 names came up. Immediately, I'm like, oh, we're in trouble. Okay.
Yep.
Because that's a pretty significant grammatical mistake, or there are problems going on here that we're about to experience. And there was also the classic line, which is almost always a trouble sign, which said, additional material by, which when you see that in credits can be very troubling.
It is.
Oh, you watched the credits?
Yeah.
Oh,
well, okay. They're on the front of the...
It's usually the part that happens
after the trailers and before the movie.
Yeah.
It was nothing worthwhile. I mean, it was just black on...
It was red on black.
So I'm like,
that was done a lot in the 80s, wasn't it?
I zoned out on that one.
That red text on black background.
Yeah, a lot of movies just would do that.
Didn't they do that at Sleepaway Camp?
I think, yeah.
Two,
I think Sleepaway Camp
red text on black, yeah. Anyway.
What are you doing?
So, maybe Cody or if someone else... Because I get... so lost in this movie.
He needs arms on his chair.
The beginning of this movie, there is so much stuff going on. Like, literally, there is just, like, so many characters that are introduced, and so many scenarios that are introduced, and within, like, 7 minutes.
There's a comedy act going on over here.
It's too long.
Just to update viewers at home, Andy Wolf is now in his third chair relocation.
This is the sloppiest episode we've ever had.
I don't know what is going on with you.
I gotta do this, but I can't.
This is like bad vaudeville going on in our studio.
Use the theater of the mind.
Yeah, I half expect you to, like, pretend to throw fake peanuts at me like I'm in a Harlem Globetrotters game or something.
All right, sorry, continue. Right.
Well, I think first I should explain what the problems with this movie are.
Please do.
So you understand. Do you think
should wait till the end, though?
No, because we're going to, the way we're...
We have to, we have happen. To know. I think that's the listeners
need
to know.
Yeah, I agree.
Okay,
so basically, this movie was produced, these producers made this movie, they hired some directors. Apparently there was 3 directors. I read this article this morning, written by the last director. There was 3 directors before her, though, who worked on the movie during production. So they made this movie... And then during post, there was creative differences, and they fired the directors, and they hired this woman to come on to just to re-edit the movie how they want it to be edited. So she comes in and she says, this movie is like 3 hours long. With the first cut of it is like 3 hours long with all the stuff they have. So she decides she has to trim the fat, trims it down, and they end up with a 40-minute movie. So she says she
because
only had,
nothing happens. She, no. Yeah. Nothing
how could
happens.
It be, how could it be three
she
hours?
Said, she yeah. said, yeah, she said we ended up with 40 minutes of usable footage, and it was mostly like creature stuff and gore stuff and, you know, effects. So they decided they had to shoot more of the movie to fill it out to 90 minutes. But the problem was that all the actors in the movies were hired and were friends of the original directors, and they refused to work with the new director because they had fired their friends.
Oh. Loyalty. Gotta love that.
So they didn't want, they wouldn't come back. They had the original mansion still, but they didn't have any of the actors. So they had to write this whole thing with these other actors and other characters and marry it somehow to the original movie, which was just these people walking around this house getting killed by monsters.
Funny you should use the word marry.
Yeah.
And, so they came up with this whole thing with this, we'll discuss it coming up, but this old man sorcerer thing and his bride.
Plus, they didn't make it 90 minutes. It's only
it's
an hour 15.
23, I think.
Wait. How can a movie...
I think it's like 15 minutes of credits.
How can a movie... We all, at some point in our careers, have done quite a bit of video editing, all of us, all four of us in this room. How could you possibly have 3 hours of a movie and then... Your options are either 3 hours or 40 minutes. I mean, they couldn't find anything that was enough. Was right. it just so bad that they right. couldn't make it work?
And, yeah. And the thing is, I don't even know what the original plot... I like to know what the original plot
was just,
of the
it
first
was an
one
Evil
was.
Dead ripoff. It was just them...
Yeah, I think it was... It sounds like the original movie was just a shameless Evil Dead ripoff.
Yeah.
But then...
It's whatever you see.
The crazy thing, and we can't understate this throughout this, is you have essentially two movies going on. You have the old footage going on, and you have this new footage going on, but the characters can never directly, right. obviously, ever directly interact with each other.
Right.
So it's like watching two movies that are happening next door to each other.
And it's funny, because in the article, she mentions one thing which we always talk about, which she, in the article, makes it sound like is like this ingenious thing. She's like, what we did is we had these characters from this movie looking in and through doors and windows at the characters from the other movie, so it looked like it was together. Right. But it's so
it's
obvious,
like,
that
it's obvious it's
and
not.
You have
it
a character
no
from the second movie kind of opening a door and peeking in, then you see the scene, and then he closes the door and walks away.
He does nothing. Yeah, yeah. Not, there's no bearing.
And not to mention the footage quality is better on movie B, the second stuff they shot.
Yeah, it looks
the quality
better.
Of the footage is nicer.
The quality yeah. of the footage is nicer, but the movie is even dumber.
But the movie is worse.
I would even
but the
say,
effects,
sure.
I like the effects.
The zombies
movie.
At the end were good. The I zombie liked... chase at the end was well, it wasn't good, but it was good for the movie. It was good comparatively.
What would it, and I really, I want to read the Wikipedia description of this movie. It says, Spookies is a 1986 independent horror film, remembered for its copious creature effects, its patchwork editing, and for boasting an effective soundtrack. To just throw in there, right in the description, the patchwork editing says a lot. And I read that before I watched the movie. I'm like, oh, that's pretty harsh. Then you watch it, you're like, holy cow,
yeah,
the
no,
editing.
Absolutely.
It was like this was being edited. It was almost like it was edited by someone who couldn't look at the screen while they were editing it. Because
yes.
there are cuts that just are pure yeah. nonsense.
Yeah, and movie one.
Well, that's a product of cutting down from 3 hours to 40 minutes.
Yeah. And the first movie, the acting is so freaking terrible.
It
and,
is.
And the second movie is a lot better.
But the story is
better. No, I'll say a lot better. But
comparatively, it is better.
Well,
yeah.
It varies.
Yeah.
It varies. There's some stuff going on.
Like the second
on,
movie,
yeah.
the creepy guy. He's pretty creepy. I like that guy. It's yeah. like the main
no,
character.
I think the second part, the second movie is by far superior to.
Yeah, I guess. I guess I would say
he's
that.
A good
well,
creepy
I
character.
Would say movie one is. More interesting. I found all
not
the
really.
Stuff
people,
with the resurrected bride completely
just,
disinteresting.
Oh, that's movie two.
Well,
and,
well,
yeah.
just,
what are we? Okay, let's
well,
establish which one's movie one and which
when
one's
we
movie
say,
two.
When we're talking about movie one, movie one was the movie that was originally called Tortured Souls and is about these teenagers? Question mark.
Yeah, no, the one guy
in
looks
the
like
old
he's
mansion?
40.
Yeah, and which is the Evil Dead ripoff. That's movie one.
Yeah,
movie
which
two,
is just people walking around a house.
That's
and
it.
Scary things happen.
That's
yeah.
it. That's the
yeah.
whole plot. And movie two is the stuff with the kid who ran away from home, an old man who's trying to resurrect a young bride.
A cat.
And
a cat guy.
And a little goblin.
Man.
A little goblin
cat
kid.
Man Carruthers.
A cat man and a little goblin that runs around getting into mischief. And if you see this movie, and I highly recommend you do, it's free on YouTube. Well, I don't recommend you see it if you have seen it. Yeah, well, I mean, just to laugh at it. If you have seen it, you will know what we mean.
Put it on at a Halloween party and where people aren't really paying attention. They're having beers and talking and having fun. That might increase its enjoyability.
I don't know. I think that would make it even worse.
Yeah, I think you got to pay attention to.
Yeah, because you'd be. I think I would be triply confused if I was watching it with people. Because if you take your eyes off the screen for a second, you may not know who or what you're looking at. All right,
so that's why you have two directors of photography, because they had another director of photography too.
They brought one in, yeah. Right.
And you can see it. Like, literally, yeah, it's like the quality changes, the technique changes.
Yeah. So to get right into it, we start off...
get right into it.
Nonsensically, yeah.
Well, the opening of the movie is what's going on here. In, like, the first 5 minutes, it's like the boy running away from home. He talks to a guy. He's like, my parents...
Well, you can't skip over that.
Yeah, you can't skip over that. Because that's the scariest thing in the movie, by the way.
It's fucking child predator.
That's
true.
In the woods. It's creepy.
Yeah.
This kid is running away.
I don't understand, like, who that guy is.
He was a predator, wasn't he?
Well, no, because he did the right thing. He says, go home, kid.
Hold on, let's set. So
the movie starts with movie two. Yeah. And it starts with this kid who it's his 13th birthday, and he's running away from home.
His parents forgot his birthday.
Because his parents forgot that it was his birthday. So he's...
By the way, a little weird at 13. that's a little old to be running away from home for your parents forgetting your birthday. Like, that's a little weird, but moving on.
So he's running through the woods. He's got his own birthday party set up, I guess, in the woods. He's got like a ho-ho or something.
Yeah, like a cupcake or something.
Yeah.
And he's like, happy birthday to me.
It's a snowball.
Yeah.
And so he's sitting in the woods by a tree just talking to himself about his birthday.
And then a hobo just sitting in a log.
With a denim jacket.
He's like,
just
he's
sitting,
sitting
log.
On a, some weird
got a light,
too,
kid?
Like a gargoyle.
Got a light, kid?
Like in a tree.
Yeah, asks him for a light and then goes, hey, did you run away from home, kid? And I'm like, where is this movie going? I'm like, this is we're going into some very creepy territory. And the kid is just kind of... The kid says something, and then like the guy's like, "You seem kind of nervous," and I'm like, "Yeah, this kid should be very nervous. A creepy dude is asking him for a light in the middle of the night in a forest."
And then something crazy happens because the kid goes, "Well, I guess I gotta be going now," and he just kind of gets his stuff and walks away, and the guy's like, the guy just falls out of the tree.
Well,
all
no,
sudden.
But that's what I'm saying, he's a predator because he's like, "Yeah, I'll see you soon." See you soon.
He does
something like
that. He says
like,
something weird, and the kid's
like, "I'm like, this is."
And the kid's just like, "All right, yeah. Chester the Molester, I gotta go."
You think that he's gonna be involved in this mansion thing, but like, he literally falls out of the tree
and gets killed.
And this cat, the cat man, is there, and
is
he's
he,
like,
"I just thought he was a werewolf."
And then he sees his body. No, yeah, it's a cat.
Yeah, the guy says cat,
and he's meowing.
The cat man manages to kill, string up, and have the hobo fall all in a matter of about 4 seconds because the kid is only about 10 feet away from him when this happens. The guy's literally like, "I'll see you later. Oh, I'm dead and I fell out of a tree."
Yeah. And the way it looks like the guy turned into the cat, but then you see the guy's body fall over dead.
Yeah, it was
so he didn't turn into the cat.
No.
And then he shows up in the end as a zombie, so I'm like, oh, I guess this guy didn't have anything to do with anything. He's just a guy in the woods smoking cigarettes.
That's right, he did turn up in the end. That's right.
And we should say, too, in movie two, which this is from, and we're also now introduced to this old creepy guy who's in a house with a bride in a coffin. Movie two's audio, if you're like, this is a little inside baseball. This gives new definition to tinny audio.
It's like one mic.
It's so, if you're wondering, like, what does that mean? Watch some of these clips on YouTube. This is what tinny audio is when you have very poor, you know, you're not getting like a full resonance. And it went that way through all of the movie B stuff. So I have to think it was a production problem on the set.
Yeah.
For them to have tinny audio
for
half of
bad.
The film.
Mm-hmm.
Annoyed me.
Yeah. So the kid then goes off and he walks towards his mansion. But at the same time, we keep cutting back and forth to these kids
in
these two cars driving.
We use the word kid loosely.
And this is where the kid very loosely.
This is like the kids in Sleepaway Camp too. They're driving. This is where the weird editing starts because it cuts between these two movies. And so it's these guys driving these two cars, driving through the woods, and this guy's like, I know where I'm going, baby. And the girl's like, you don't know where you're going. And there's this other guy in the back in the other car.
The other guy's like 40.
Yeah. He's like 40.
He's in a leisure suit.
He's wearing a suit and a tie.
At one point, someone calls him a kid, too. They're like, I'm sorry, kid.
I think he's got gray hair.
He is, like, we're not even talking like the typical Hollywood thing where you're like, oh, here's some mid-20s kid that they're passing him to. This guy looks like he could easily pass for early 50s.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. He's like 40
he's
something.
He's skinny as a rail. Adult. He's wearing this suit that's a little baggy on him. He's got this, like, it looks like he's wearing a hairpiece.
He looks like a
character in a sitcom who'd play like a lawyer in an episode where somebody gets like a traffic ticket or something.
I thought at the beginning that he was chasing the teenagers, and then when they all stopped, that he was gonna get out and be like, "I got you, kids." And then I'm like, "No, he's with the kids."
Yeah, some creepy guy with a hand puppet. They got kicked out of the party, so they're looking for another party.
They got kicked out of the
party.
I'm like,
I don't know how the guy in the suit got kicked out of a party.
Let's go look for a party. Just drive around looking for a party.
What kind of party they were at where he's wearing a suit and everyone
Duke's
else is
wearing like Duke's a wearing sadomasochistic.
He's wearing like a half shirt and
he's got like
leather
like
pants.
He stepped out of the Village People.
Yeah. And one of them has a puppet.
Yes.
Oh, yes. Oh, my God.
And a photograph of himself on his T-shirt.
Yeah, his shirt has a picture of himself. So this guy who has a puppet. Oh, yeah.
He's
I mean,
the comic relief.
His shirt might as well say comic relief. So all of a sudden, out of nowhere, this guy busts up with a puppet, and the puppet starts talking. And Duke or one of the other teenagers is like, "Don't start with that thing again." And I'm like, this is an ongoing problem?
I guess
this
so.
Guy's puppet is an issue in this friendship? That's cool.
Now, I'm left to believe that maybe the puppet somehow got them thrown out of the party.
You know what? If that was a plot point, I would give them credit if they were like, "Oh, you and that stupid puppet, we're having a great time at the party. Why did the puppet have to keep going over to the keg?"
Well, then, something funny happens here, too, because they're driving, and all of a sudden, I think this might be when it cuts back and forth, but
All
of a sudden, like, a tree, just like a tree branch, like, falls into the road, like, right in front of the car.
Yeah.
Like, lands gingerly in the road, and everyone's, like, freaking out, like, "Oh, my God!" And
Duke's like, "Damn it, branch!"
And so they get out of the car, he's like, "Help me move this thing." It's, like, just this branch, and it takes, like, four of them to, like...
Why was this a plot point? Because, like, this tree branch falls, and I'm like, oh, this is, like, something that's going to pin them in, or this is somehow...
And, like,
a zombie's going to
kill them or something.
Nope, they just get out, they pick up the branch and throw it in the woods. And I'm like, why did we even see this?
And then Duke fights with the old guy again. He's like...
Yeah.
I can't
remember. What do you say? Like, where are we going?
I don't, yeah,
I'm
they,
telling you where I'm going. I'm going nuts because I'm standing here talking to you or some weird line. It's like this
it's
whole
like that.
Weird freaking written script that just.
Yeah, and the old guy basically.
By the way, punctuated by bad acting.
I like Deuce Carr. He's like this young punk and he's driving around like a fucking 85 Buick Regal or something.
I know. They couldn't even
afford it. It's like an iRock or something. It's a Buick Regal or
they couldn't afford both.
It's my mom's car.
There are so many car issues because later on in the movie, a full blown
station wagon comes
Whoever was in charge of transportation really dropped the ball. All the money went to makeup. Transportation got nothing.
So then it cuts back to, and I thought this scene is creepy. I always liked the scene with the kid in the birthday party.
Well, it's creepy, but makes no fucking sense.
Oh, it doesn't make any sense. It doesn't make any sense. It's absolutely disjointed, but I think it's got good atmosphere. I thought the Billy plot
just needed to go away.
It was for padding out the 40-minute movie.
I guess it's for padding because it made no sense, the whole thing.
So let's try to explain this.
So he goes into the mansion. He notices there's no names on the gravestones. He makes sure that he says it. Oh, no names. And he keeps walking. He goes into the mansion, and he walks around the corner, and there's a table set up with balloons and a cake. And I guess Cody's right. There's some creep factor going on
here.
Is, there's a bunch of boxes like with birthday presents, and he's like, "What's this?" And then he sees a birthday card. "Happy birthday, Billy. That's me." And then he goes
By the way, that's a line in the movie, like where someone identifies themselves as he reads a card, says, "Happy birthday, Billy. That's me." He's basically saying, "I am Billy."
And what is he? He cuts the cake, and the candles light up automatically. There's this toy robot that walks up, and he moves the toy robot, and then all of a sudden they show the same shot of the toy robot walking again.
We have to talk about this sequence. I could not wrap my head around it. This is what my notes read. The kid puts a present on the table. For reasons that are not clear, he does what I would judge was a quintuple take of looking at it. And then all of a sudden, a doll is lying backwards in a chair.
Yeah. And then that was it.
And that was it. And then we cut. End scene. I watched that four times trying to decipher what
he did. That I noticed that, like, that.
Yeah.
I head bob like seven times back and forth, and
I could not make sense of what they were trying to capture in
scene. Well, and another thing too is, like, so silly, because, like, I have a 13-year-old, and she's not gonna walk into a mansion where there's balloons and think, "Oh, you guys tricked me! A surprise party in the middle of this mansion I didn't know anything about." And
so in this kid's mind, he's thinking, my parents knew I was going to run away from home. Yep. They knew I was going to walk through these creepy woods.
They're going to risk me almost getting raped by a hobo.
They knew I was going to avoid that pedophile.
Yeah.
And that I was going to find this mansion, go in the mansion, and find this party, and then wait
where
here.
No one is there.
Yeah, find this card, and then they were going to come out. So... this is like Wicker Man birthday party planning.
Oh my god!
So then
they cut to something else.
They cut to them driving again. Yeah, and they come back and he's like cuts a cake and he sees the box and it's a wrapped present, and he lifts it up. He goes, "Oh, is this a bowling ball?" And he's like, "Okay, I'm gonna open this because there's no one there."
Seven totally ripped this scene off.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah. That's where the inspiration for Seven. Yeah.
What's in the box?
What's in the box?
So he unwraps a gift and opens it, and of course it's a head.
Yeah.
And the head looks up and says, "Happy birthday, Billy." And then he runs.
Then he gets scared. Now he's scared.
Yeah, now he's like, "Whoa!
Surprise!"
We forgot to mention did the little blue goblin kid steal a knife out of the kid's backpack yet? And then just skulks in a corner and then does nothing but skulk in the corner with the knife that this kid or an ice pick. It looks like there was an ice pick in this kid's bag.
Yeah.
The kid set the backpack down. The goblin kid takes the ice pick and then hides in the corner. Then he opens the box with the head in it.
Yeah.
Correct? Am I wrong?
Yeah, I think so. I think so. Well, we should also mention this cat man.
Well, the cat
and then the cat man is a different,
The cat man. The cat man looks like
he looks like he's from Thriller.
Yeah, he does. He's wearing the spangly vest.
He looks like somebody said, "Give me half of your costume from Thriller and half from a Renaissance fair." I could not throughout the film. Every time he came on, I was pausing it, trying to understand what he was wearing, because there's like a gold lamé vest involved. And
he's got like a hook.
I couldn't understand that.
So he chases Billy out of the house and through the woods again, and Billy falls into an open
and as he's
grave.
Running after you hear like a meow, meow.
Yeah, the catman's literally meowing through the whole movie.
And the funny thing too is it's like a cartoon. He's swinging his hands and you hear him go, you hear that cartoon.
Yeah. Oh, this movie's sound effect work is that?
So yeah, Billy just runs and falls into an open grave.
And then the catman buries him.
The catman just gruesome.
Yeah, he buries him alive.
Almighty. The kid's 13. He rips his face off.
Oh, he does. Yeah, he's
throws him in the hole.
That's right. He slashes him across the face. Then he throws
Dang. There's so much shoveling.
I know.
It cuts
it's like
back 10
minutes
forth.
Of shoveling.
There is 5 minutes of shoveling in just real time. They cut from the kid to Catman shoveling. Kid, Catman, kid, Catman, kid, Catman. This goes on for five. There was a point where I'm like, what are you showing me this for?
It's for like nothing, really.
It's not really filling him in either. It's like every time they cut back to the kid, there's like the same amount of dirt on him.
Yeah.
But somehow he dies.
He can't get up. Yeah, he just can't get up.
He just dies.
Yeah,
three shovelfuls, I'm done.
He dies of shoveling.
So then it cuts back to the kids in the car. And Duke is like the most defensive character I've ever seen. Like, his girlfriend's like, "Are we almost there?" And he's like, "You don't think I know where I'm going, do you? I know where I'm going. We're almost there." And they finally pull up to the house, and they all just I can't remember. Like,
well, they kind of
have a 5 minute discussion as
whether or not
they
should go into the house.
Well, there's a great line too.
There ain't nobody living here. Let's go inside.
And one of the girls looks at the tombstones outside, and there's this like weird pause, and this girl's just staring at tombstone. She just goes, "So old." Like, oh, okay. Like, someone's going to be like, "Hey, these are pretty fresh. Look at this. Got the modern technique used here. See, this looks like an AX400. They sell these down the street." It's like, all right.
Like I said, it's so nothing really happens here. I mean,
I just
watched it, and I can't even tell you what happened here. They just kind of like...
They go into the house.
They decide to go in eventually.
And then they're all dancing with each other.
They keep cutting back to the old man in the attic, and he gives some monologues about chess and about his bride and about...
And he opens his casket, and there's this woman dressed up like in a wedding gown in a veil, just lying in a casket.
And the whole plot
is... she looks
is...
perfectly preserved. She looks like a beautiful girl. She's right. not like a zombie or anything.
And they're saying, I guess, the whole plot is he's been luring... these are the last, the final victims to bring her back somehow.
He's sending...
yeah, he says these are the final...
He says something like that, yes.
But she just, like, wakes up at some point when,
yeah, when they're not
and then
even
she and then she's totally, and then she's totally not cool with it.
Right.
He's a sorcerer. He's a sorcerer. But yeah, he gets this whole thing about the pawns, and he's playing chess, and he's like, once the pawns are all dead, we'll get our queen back or whatever, and...
Yeah,
and like, okay. then it,
but
yeah.
who's our? We got this creepy goblin kid and the freaking cat man.
Yeah, I don't.
I guess yes. they imply well, that he's got like this empire.
Yeah, and he says she has hundreds of.
Yeah, they're all her.
I
children,
guess those must be the children. Zombies at the end.
So the woman, the bride who's in the coffin, is hundreds of years old. Then
I think is she's like.
Well, he said. He no, said I've been. He like, said I've waited 70 years or yeah. something to that effect.
He said a lifetime, but then she said 70 years.
Right. Okay.
Yeah. Okay.
So in that 70 years, she's had all these monsters as children. I don't know.
And I guess
I don't understand.
And yeah, the idea I think is he's luring idiots to the mansion to kill them, and then using their souls to kind of fill up.
Right. Yeah.
He needs like dead souls really to bring
does,
his wife back.
Well,
to
he does
life.
Specialize he's not, in idiots.
Yeah. He's, I he's not really. Yeah. He's not really luring anybody to the mansion.
Well, is that
that's
really
a good lure, point. He doesn't yeah. lure anybody.
But he knows yeah. they're coming.
He yeah, does seem.
And he had a wasted opportunity point, there with that hobo.
That was like a weird thing. Like they come up to the house and they're like. I can't remember what they say, but then it cuts back to him. He's looking out the window. He goes, "I knew you would." And then
that
it cuts,
made no sense.
Yeah, and it
yeah.
cuts back. I'm like, "What?"
The yeah, what well, his response made no yeah. sense to what they said. Yeah, yeah.
The shots of just him looking out the window, saying things, have cut in with the movie.
Yeah,
to make funny. It to make it look well, like then, he's like in the attic somewhere. And
that's
he knows
right.
what's
like,
going
nobody
on.
Lives here. Yes, I do.
Yeah. Forever, he says.
Yeah. Yeah.
Like, well, okay. So then the teenagers are inside. And
they're having a lame party.
Like Duke, who I'm concerned that Duke has a serious mental illness.
Oh yeah,
because,
he's
like that
completely
starts
bipolar.
To.
He's got confidence. He's got confidence issues. That's definitely.
Yeah. He's very defensive.
No, he's. I think.
He's like, leave me alone.
He does. He goes.
Well, his girlfriend's
you
like,
don't
think
hey.
I can provide for you, do you?
She's like, hey, do you want to dance? He's like, no, leave me alone.
I don't want to do nothing. Either.
Yeah.
You dragged everybody out here. Now you don't want to do nothing.
Yeah. And everyone else is like, okay.
They're not even like. They're not even. There's no point to this. Like, they don't even have like a. Six pack or something.
Well, it came in with that stupid scene too, where like, the dumb comic guy was bumping into everybody.
Yeah,
yeah.
He bumped into two people. Like, oh, don't bump into the third. Don't. He did.
He did,
like,
of
oh.
course.
Well, here's
what. Fucking stupid.
Here's my thing with that guy's comedic performance. I just feel like he played it too subtle. You know,
yeah.
I really feel
yeah, he
like,
needed to go a little
yeah,
further.
You needed just, to. Yeah, he just
well,
did
a
little
more facial
enough.
Expression. I need more yeah. facial expression.
There's that
from
dumb,
him.
The dumb part. I think it's right here with the puppet with the tissue.
Yeah.
When some guy's like, oh, and the puppet pops up behind the couch and gives him a tissue, and yeah. he sees into it. And goes, oh, thanks. He looks at the puppet and does like a dumb double take.
Whoa.
Like,
whoa, what? A puppet?
Is that a puppet?
Even though he knew that this idiot has a puppet on his hand at all times.
Oh, God. So then they're they Duke is like kind of just wandering out the room and he sees a box on the shelf and he opens it up and there's like a crazy looking like planchette from a Ouija board.
Well, it's like it's a Ouija board but not a Ouija board so that they don't get sued for trademark.
But they do say Ouija board in it.
They do say Ouija because I'm like I guess the word Ouija must
it's
not have been trademarked.
Actually
but
pronounced
it's like,
Ouija.
Ouija.
You gotta watch Witch Board. You'll know that.
We should do that movie.
Or one of its
no,
many
that's a
sequels.
Fantastic. Witch Board is too good for this podcast.
I just love the bromance in that
spoiler
film.
Spoiler alert. Yeah. Spoiler alert. The sequels to Witch Board are not.
So this girl Carol picks up the planchette and she's like fascinated by it and then somehow they get interested in this door.
Yeah,
yeah, he sees it.
He's like, there's this door.
This
like,
series of events is very coincidental, by the way. He's like, hey, look at this. Oh, look at this door.
Yeah.
Let
and,
me open
yeah,
it.
Yeah, so Duke's like, oh, let's see where this door
a
leads.
A dead guy falls out.
And, it's, and this is the funny thing. I laugh so hard because he goes, he's like trying to open the door and it's locked. It cuts to one of the other guys looking at him. It cuts back to Duke and he's swinging a chair into the door.
Yeah.
He breaks his chair over the door like that's going to open the door.
This is if you are a young editor at home and you wanted how to know not to insert a cutaway shot, watch this
thing,
movie.
Yeah. It's like it literally cuts away for like half a second, cuts back, he's in mid swing with this giant chair swinging at the door.
There's another one coming up much
later. Oh,
yeah,
later. And I laughed at that too.
Yeah.
Like, which one?
Well, he broke another chair. Like, he just breaks chairs. So, the door opens. And, of course, a creepy dead body falls out. It's grasping a Ouija board.
Yeah.
It ain't real. It's fake. Touch it.
this isn't real. He's like to his girlfriend, like, touch it, touch it. She's like, ew. She's like, no, weirdo. It's the most interested Duke has been in anything, by the way, is this dead body.
This is some dummy's idea of a joke.
I'm convinced that Duke, like, escaped from a mental institution and that the guy in the suit and tie is, like, his, you know, Dr. Loomis, like, from Halloween, who's, like, following him. So, basically, then this girl, Carol, like, to move ahead a little, she plays with the Ouija board and she goes full deadite. You know, from
yeah, like, there's something here too. There's something here too. A line that Duke says, which made me laugh, because it's like just a dumb like callback where literally this happened like 2 minutes earlier. But this one girl says, "Oh, it's a Ouija board," and one of the other girls says, like, "Oh, don't you need like one of those things?" Like, and Carol goes, "Oh, what about this?" And Duke goes, "That's that thing that fell out of the box on the shelf."
We just saw it four minutes before.
That just happened.
It was like, such a Scooby-Doo moment right there. You know?
It would have been great
if just happened.
If Duke had like winked at the audience, like, just trying to help you out, folks.
Yeah.
You following along out there?
Yeah. Everyone with me?
In case you looked away for a second.
Now that's callback.
Carol says.
So one of them plays the Ouija board and gets all the answers from the guy upstairs.
Yep.
Yeah.
How old am I? 24.
Yeah.
24.
How long am I going to live till? 24.
What's my favorite TV show? 24. How many hours are there in a day? 24.
All right, enough of this.
Give me a tougher question.
And she like goes like full on like become.
This is,
she
just this becomes is just a scene.
She's a deadite.
She's just straight out of
she's
evil
a deadite.
Dead.
Can we say
deadite?
Dead is that copyrighted?
Well, we'll find out.
Right, we should call it.
If they ripped the old dead off.
No. Let's just make sure we don't confuse people who have seen RIPD. We don't mean dead O's.
That's right. Not a dead O.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
And the makeup effect.
Well,
was...
it looks exactly like the dead O's.
Oh, exactly like
it. How they didn't get sued, I don't know.
She got the white eyes. And
it's the same thing. That they like basically.
And she literally at one point says, looks... join us.
No, well, I heard. Well, I was going to say, I heard. Well, she says it, but I heard it. When she's turning, you hear like
rah,
I swear I heard join. I heard join us in there. I swear to God,
well, you did because you did. That's why you did.
Oh my God, it's such a ripoff.
Yeah, but they can't really join them. Like that's not actually an
option. That's not an option according to the new plot of the movie.
They don't want to join them. They just want to kill them
so they can resurrect the bride. Now are they implying now that the old sorcerer is kind of possessing her and controlling her like a puppet?
I don't think it's implied.
I think that's what they're saying. Yeah.
But even in scenes where he's distracted doing other things, she's still like a demon zombie.
Well, I think when he's distracted doing other things, she's just standing there doing nothing because Carol disappears
for most of the movie.
He's distracted doing another movie. So, that's why.
Yeah.
He's like, that's right, I'm doing another movie. Sorry.
Yeah, because they make her into a deadite, and then she disappears basically until the finale.
She pops up once more in the room with the guy.
Yeah.
Doesn't do anything to him.
And
then the door opens up, and he walks. That's later on, where it's kind of like, what was that all about?
Just
then?
Disappears. So one of the teenagers runs outside, and...
The British girl with the horrible English accent that's obviously
Lewis
fake,
does.
Right?
Well, one of the guys, and he...
No, Lewis, it's Lewis.
Oh, I'm sorry, Lewis. You're right. Yep.
And he basically allows himself to get sucked into a quicksand grave very slowly.
Very slowly.
As
Catman
Crothers looks on from the woods.
Yeah, literally, like, he's sticking his face into the camera, implying he's leaning over the grave, laughing at him. But then when we show the shot of the grave, there's no way you could be standing in that shot.
Right.
Yeah.
And then his name burns on the tombstone, which calls back to the fact that the tombstones don't have names on them until the people in the mansion get killed.
Right. Which calls back to an interesting idea in a better movie.
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah. And then we basically now go into the long stretch of this movie where it turns into a terrible Scooby-Doo episode of people just walking around this mansion doing nothing.
Doing nothing. Except Duke's trying to get laid at one point.
Oh, we do have the line because he goes. Duke is like, I don't want to walk around with you other people. I'm too antisocial for that. I'm going down to the basement, and he then like. By the way, they just watched one of their friends die and have his name etched on a tombstone.
Right.
Moments later, Duke's like, "Hey, girlfriend, I'm Duke, the horny ghost.
Lay on this dirt floor. This is romantic, baby.
Yeah.
Come on, let's get into it."
And he's trying to, like, get it on with his girlfriend.
This is one of the scenes I remembered about the movie, too.
This is
from when I first
weird.
Saw it.
Freaking bizarre.
This is weird. So a bunch of mummy-ish zombies come in. They're kind of zombies, but they kind of look like a little, like...
Dirt monsters.
They're like dirt muck monsters who are farting. Who fart throughout this
scene. The whole scene.
And I don't mean, like... you're like, oh, there's some like sound effects. It's you're like, oh, I think they're releasing. It's just like, it's just noise like.
Yeah. Like people, somebody's just going.
Yeah. Yeah, not even good. Like, in for
every time it, like it gets hit, it's like.
Yeah, like, push up against the wall. But it's just like added in. None of the characters. Like, no, yeah, nothing yeah. is going on in the scene. I to suggest that anyone is constantly farting.
I was imagining last night, like one of those actors watching the movie and going, "Wait a minute, why
did you put the farting makes no sense. They don't react to it. It's not like they go, oh, they smell.
Right, nothing.
No, it's just a post. I think it was supposed to be trying to be funny. Like, they're trying to
salvage. Why would you try to be funny?
They're trying to salvage a movie.
And it's not even the... Like, I would actually go as far as to say it's not the worst scene in the movie. It's not the worst effects in the movie. Like, the muck monsters don't look that bad.
Yeah, they look
I don't know why.
It would have been a decent scene had they not added the farting.
Farting, yeah.
How often do we say that in this show? This would have been a decent scene had they not.
Well, they figured they screwed everything else up, so they may as well go all the way. The one salvageable scene, let's just screw it up with farts.
Well, I should say in that article I read with the director, she's called it a gothic horror spoof. So I don't know if she thought that she was making a spoof. But there's nothing in this movie to suggest it was a spoof.
No one has the right to take over somebody else's movie and call it a spoof.
Nothing else happens in this movie that would say, like, this is comical. No. Well, I mean, other than the crazy guy with his puppet who's doing...
Well, then they had, like, when they did Ron Mansion, that one guy was screaming, like, a over-the-top...
Yeah, there was, like, a couple...
He was doing some weird... Yeah. It's kind of like... I think those are just lighthearted moments here.
It's intended to be moments of comic relief as opposed to it being a spoof in general.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's why she added the farting noises.
So somehow Duke and his girlfriend realized that if you get the muck monsters wet...
Is it wet or is it just wine?
Wet.
I think it was just wet.
Just wet, yeah. Which also, they fell in the puddle first. The first one fell in the puddle.
Yeah, any moisture.
Which, why would a muck monster hang out in a basement if water is dead?
Buried underground.
And wouldn't muck imply that it's already soggy?
I would think so. Yeah, so the girlfriend chops into a wine vault. And just a tip for you at home, a lot, I didn't know this.
When you
chop into a barrel of wine,
it's like a fire hose.
Into a fire hydrant. Yeah. You know, like
you uncork it, man.
You know, just it looked dangerous. The pressure that wine was under. Who could have known? Could have killed everyone. I don't even know if it was the wine that killed the muck monsters or just the water pressure like blasting them. So they melt. And Duke is immediately like, all right, well, that happened.
Yeah, I know.
Like, okay.
See, I can provide for you.
Yeah. It's, you know, all right. Totally unfazed. Not at all like, hey, three monsters made out of mud just attacked us and tried to kill us, and we killed them by pouring wine on them. They're like,
well, I like
all right,
to...
let's keep looking.
After seeing this, after seeing his friends die and all this, he still goes around the mansion like trying to scare all his friends. Like he pops out like, ooh.
Yeah, what the hell?
Yeah.
You know, so it's a serious situation.
And meanwhile, the comic relief puppet guy, he's just going into rooms where he'll go into a room, then the door locks behind him, and we cut to movie two where there's like the Catman like holding the door locked. Yeah. And then Catman just walks away, the door's not locked.
Well, I love that, too. Every time this movie, a door is stuck or locked, it cuts to the Catman holding the door shut. Like,
yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
Like, he's the one who holds all the doors shut.
By the way, I think we should clear up for everybody, too. When Alex says room, he means room. Just so we know. Want to be clear on that.
File that under mentalist.
Okay.
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay, closet, close it.
Closet.
Yeah. And then...
I don't know where we even are.
I don't know.
So they found at this point, it's just them walking.
Where do they find somebody hanging?
It's just a scene after scene.
I think
it's
right.
Oh well, we do have the British guy, the British girl, and her boyfriend in this room.
They find a body,
and she's like, "I'm safe, and I feel safer in this room. I don't want to leave it." Are we there yet?
And then those
lizard things.
But yeah, that they go on. There's obviously a relationship problem there because she's overbearing to him, and
he's a wuss,
and he's gonna air it out now.
And he's gonna get drunk to prove that he's a man.
It really has nothing to do with anything.
And he's like, I'm gonna drink this. She's like, don't drink. And he's like, I'm gonna drink this. He drinks. He's like, oh, that was disgusting. I should not have drank that.
So, yeah, it's at this point where she starts playing the Ouija board, the demon. Yeah. And that's when it points to a certain demon. Or monster.
Start popping up,
and that's when the
monsters
start coming out. Some of them look good. Some of them look like Halloween props.
At this point,
some of them do look good.
I think they all look good. I mean, except for like the little... gremlin creatures that
I didn't like them, and I liked the one in the end, the Reaper one. I thought looked a little.
The Reaper was tacky.
Well, let's talk about.
I thought it was tacky.
Looked like it bought it from a Walmart.
The English girl gets attacked by these little, like, kind of ghouly-ish.
They look like boglins. Yeah, like ghouls. Does anybody remember those?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, and they're. She gets attacked by them. They're these little, like, gross, like, slimy.
That's like a 10-minute scene.
And she's getting attacked.
Her fighting them off.
And I kept thinking, like, oh, she's dead because she's moving really slowly. But no, she's actually fine and just moving really slowly.
Even though she's got her neck torn wide open.
Yeah, her neck's torn wide open. I think she's dead. She stops moving. The ghouly thing is still eating her neck. Then she grabs a poker slowly, and I'm like, oh, she's on her last, like, he kept setting up things. Like,
slowly pokes it into the ghoulie.
Slowly pokes it into the ghoulie's shoulder.
Like, there's no urgency here.
Into its shoulder, and then the ghoulie dies. I mean, this is the slowest moving thing.
Meanwhile, Catman is watching through a window.
And there are two, right? Because in the way the scene is edited,
the two ghoulies,
I'm like, there must be two, but there's like one in
a three. Was it two or three? I don't know.
It's never clear in the way they edited it.
It's more than one. Let's just say that.
Now there's at least two.
I'm convinced, too, that the prop department was like, okay, you're going to stab the ghoulie in the shoulder, because they're like, we don't want to lose. This is a pretty good practical effect. We may reuse it. Don't destroy it. So that's why you have to slowly stab it in the shoulder.
In a specific spot.
Yeah.
So yeah, she lives and gets away from that. She runs. Well, she finds her boyfriend dead, too. He got his face eaten off by a ghoulie while he was passed out drunk.
Yeah.
And so she runs out in the hall, and she's like freaking out, and she sees her boyfriend like, in the hall, like down the hall, and he's like, oh,
who she just saw with his face ripped off.
And he's talking all creepy, like,
so you might want to be like, wait a minute,
come to us.
He's
I don't
like,
believe you.
Come to me, my love.
So he comes closer, and of course he turns into like a big
demon thing,
giant monster thing, which looked pretty cool.
Which he had like these tentacles that he strangled her with.
If we have to say something nice about this movie, if this was a demo reel for someone's makeup effects and like creature effects, I'd be like, oh, hire them. You know, like, yeah, their makeup and creature effects look pretty great for 1984 or whenever it was they shot it.
Yeah.
Everything else, throw it in the toilet. But, you know, that stuff's good.
This monster kills her.
It's like a long-tailed, it almost looks like a predator. I mean, this is pre-predator.
Yeah, I was gonna say predator,
but it looks a little predatorish with this weird, like, long tail that, like, wraps around her.
Yeah. It's another movie that ripped off the Spookies, see?
That's right.
Predator.
Spookies.
Seven.
Yeah.
So,
we get a bunch more stuff of the Catman hiding behind doors.
The comic relief guy gets locked in that room, and he decides to take a leak in the fireplace, and then the door opens.
That already happened, but then the door
wanders away.
Opens. It's because that's what I'm saying. The demon was in the room with him already.
Right.
And he couldn't get out, and she didn't do anything. She all of a sudden was gone.
Yeah.
And then the door just opens, and he walks out.
Yeah. There's no point. No point.
No, none whatsoever. Yeah.
It's not even like they're trying to hide the fact it's filler. It's just like, it's just straight up filler. Yeah.
So he goes upstairs, and he comes across this this attractive Asian lady who's like, I'm stuck in here too. Let's get out. And he's like totally like, okay.
I wonder if there was more to this woman on the cutting room floor, because she seemed a little bit more important. It seemed like there was more there. Like, she was more important to this plot than the second crew allowed it.
Well, in this whole sequence, this is
a spider lady.
I thought this was some of the best photographed stuff, was once she actually, like, gets into, like, her lair.
And like you're saying earlier, that was actually pretty good effects.
Oh, yeah, like, her spider, like, she then just, she turns into, like, a giant spider lady. Yeah.
He gets stuck in a web.
And yeah.
And the effect
The web didn't look good.
The web looks terrible. the web looks like, you know, they picked it up at Walmart before they shot this. But
they just painted it on a wall.
But she looks great. I mean, when
she sucked him dry, it looked pretty good.
That was pretty good, too. I mean, by 84 standards.
Different way, but.
Yeah.
But when she sucked
him dry. Particularly considering the budget of this movie.
It looked pretty good.
Yeah.
It really did. I was like, wow, that's not bad.
Yeah, if there was a plot going into this, and I kept thinking, I'm like, oh, this spider lady is gonna factor into the ending somehow, and
all the monsters disappear once they kill somebody.
Nope. Yeah,
yeah,
because they had to go back to that bride plot point that we all cared about, which
still makes me think that this was like done as almost like a demo reel, you know, to just show off like creature effects. Like they were like, oh, we'll just, you know.
Yeah, and I guess during this too, I guess we should say that they're cutting back to the him and her in the attic. just she doesn't want to be with him. I mean, this is all going on at the same time.
The bride and the sorcerer. Yeah, and then she runs away and she gets attacked by some witch creature.
Well, she gets attacked by a bunch. Well, that's kind of coming. It's still a little bit later.
We're coming up to
it. Sure, because my time, scale here is slipping.
And we should.
I don't think we're like going in any sort of.
We're not really.
The movie's really not going.
Well, you can't because you can't remember exactly. Right.
Yeah, exactly. It's hard to find your bearings.
The next thing I have in my notes is. This is maybe my favorite sequence in the movie is the They Live style fight.
Oh, yes. Between, I was going to say the same thing.
Yes!
Between middle-aged man and Duke. Duke, who, like, I have so many, I even came to have brought this up. It's like an episode of Jersey Shore. It's like haunted house Jersey Shore style with Duke and his girlfriend. And he and middle-aged man, I don't even know what they were fighting about. Much like They Live, at least in They Live, we know what they're fighting about. It's about putting on sunglasses.
He just disrespected him, man. He said he didn't know what he's doing again or something like that.
It was something.
I wear a leather jacket, you wear a suit and tie. I don't like you.
And they fight for minutes, like just punching each other.
Meanwhile, there's monsters trying to kill them.
The girls are like, just let him fight it out.
Yeah.
And then 10 minutes into it, they're like, maybe we should stop this.
Yeah. And they don't even the fight still goes on until one of them sees the two like grim reapers with like scythes are coming at them and they're like
and they look like they're made out of plastic.
So yeah, one of these
is such a bad looking grim reaper.
And one of the grim reapers
does. One of
the
favorite things in the movie happens here though.
Oh, it does. This is fantastic.
Well, there's like three things here. First off, during the fight, Duke swings another chair at the middle-aged man and breaks a chair over his back. Like.
It's his move.
Their breakaway chair.
His signature budget
move. Must have been huge here.
Yeah.
Someone get me a chair.
That's his finishing move if this is Mortal Kombat. Chair comes in.
Yeah.
So then the Grim Reaper comes to life, and Duke sees it and does nothing to prevent his own death. He's just like, oh, crap. And the Grim Reaper, like, slices his head open or whatever. And
you couldn't even tell what happened.
It looked like he sliced his head
They cut to something. It looked like a slice of something, and then Duke was just flying across the room.
Yeah. Yeah. I still
wasn't well. I didn't know if he's dead or not.
I wasn't sure Duke was dead. Well, until
he
the
doesn't
end
come
of
back.
Because this was the moment I realized, oh my god, this Weasley middle-aged guy in the suit and tie, is he our hero?
I don't think anyone's a hero.
There's no heroes. Yeah, there's no heroes.
But then my second favorite thing about this scene is then he and the girls to escape.
We gotta set this up
to escape this room where the Grim Reaper is. Is there trying to kill them all.
Yeah, what he says, let me try to set this up. He says, the door. And then he flies through the door like Superman. He doesn't like barrel through the door. He flies through the top half of the door.
He jumps on that thing. Yeah, jumps on that thing.
Like an ottoman or something.
It goes so flying through.
Because only the top half of the door breaks because he then has to help people through the top part.
What's also funny about that too is the Catman is outside supposedly holding the door.
Yeah, and he
and somehow he knows he's coming through the door. He's like, where are you? And he runs away.
You have
and then
to.
He comes blasting through the door.
This is one of the best moments in any movie we've done. Is seeing a middle-aged man come through a door like a human cannonball.
That has to be a screen cap on the.
I laughed for like a solid minute. I had to pause because I was losing track of what was happening, and then rewound it and watched it again.
So then my third favorite thing about this scene. Is they go running into another room and they shut the door and they're like, oh, we're safe in here. He can't get through this door, even though this guy just jumped through the door. They don't think this Grim Reaper monster can get through it.
Because we should say Duke's Jersey Shore girlfriend, her leg
is sliced really
bad, and her condition varies from shot to shot. In some shots, she's unable to move. In other shots, she's able to run at a light pace,
and
depending on what's going on.
And the whole time, she's making sex noises.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, they added in a lot of panting, like some terrible panting folly work done in here. Yeah.
Well, I love when she goes, my leg, it feels like it's on fire. It's like, oh.
And middle-aged man is like, can it?
So the Grim Reaper, of course, breaks through the door, and they go, all right, we gotta go out this window, and they climb out the window onto like the roof, onto one of the roofs.
It's like a partial second floor roof, I guess. Yeah.
So they get on this and they run around, and they run down the roof, and the Grim Reaper comes out and he like walks up to him, and the guy.
And what the hell happened here?
Listen, my favorite thing about.
This. Oh my god! Yes.
The guy like kicks him off the roof, whatever.
And he explodes.
The guy kicks.
He grabs the sickle, the scythe, or whatever. and is smoking.
Oh yeah, he starts to smoke, and then he just throws him off.
And then
the Grim Reaper falls, hits the ground, and explodes in a fireball.
He explodes like a grenade.
Like a grenade, he explodes like a car with a Molotov cocktail inside. Yeah.
And it's funny because you look at it.
Huge fireball.
You can tell they went to some field somewhere and did this explosion because there's nothing around.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's supposed to be by the house.
And how on earth does that work? So throwing a Grim Reaper off of... It's just like a second floor porch, too.
Right.
Makes them turn into just a fireball. Yeah. And everyone's unfazed. Everyone's totally unfazed. Okay. Middle-aged man is like, all right, let's get back inside. Yeah. You just threw a Grim Reaper and made it explode like a car in an 80s cop movie. And you're just like, all right. And they don't even say, like, you know what? We might be able to get out and climb down. Yeah, they're like, nope, let's go back inside where the other Grim Reaper is.
Well, they don't want to explode. If they jump down, they might explode.
So the whole movie, I'm trying to figure it out, because they want to go out the front door in the beginning, and there's some, I guess, zombies out there.
Yeah.
So they went back in the house. They're not trying to get out of the house as far as, like, go out a window or anything.
So
what are they looking for when they're going around the house? What are they looking for?
Another passage?
I don't know.
An underground tunnel? What are they looking for?
I don't know if they're looking for Carol so they can kill her. I don't know.
I really... That is not ever covered.
Right. Then so they go back in the same room they just came out, and they notice a little statue.
Yeah.
And he's like, that's Carol. And so he's realizing that this guy's in the...
Then the girl with the sliced leg like sees something on the shelf.
Right.
And she's like really interested in it, so she gets up and like runs towards it.
She can all of a sudden walk.
And she like runs into the shelf, and this thing falls off the shelf and
melts the statue.
Yeah. And one of them's like, watch out, it's acid.
Yeah.
And then the girl's like, that's not acid, at least not any kind of acid we know.
And that was it. That was all that was.
Never brought back again.
And then they say, look at the picture in the wall. This must be the old occultist that used to live here. And then it cuts to, obviously, another shameless tie-in. It's the guy from upstairs with the bride.
Yeah.
And he's holding the Ouija board.
And he's got this ring on his hand. He's got the same ring that those mummies had on their hand. What? Yeah, I didn't remember a ring being on the... I don't remember that.
Middle-aged man comes up with some theory. He's like, this is all about the occult, and if we get these occult things, then we can fight them, which had to be some kind of plot point, again, from the original, like, Tortured Souls movie.
And then he grabs an axe off the wall.
Because I'm like, is he talking about, like, magic spells or something? Because he's like, the occult, black magic. And he's like, or I'll just grab this axe off the wall, because I could throw that at someone. So we then get, if you like watching people walk downstairs slowly, this is your movie.
This is your movie.
This is one of the best. Like, if that for you is like, I just want to see people walking downstairs and walking very slowly, buy this movie. Own it. It's really a masterpiece of it, I would say. And then they
find their way into some room where Carol is. Apparently, it's like the one room in the mansion they hadn't checked yet.
Yeah.
And Carol is sitting there with the Ouija board.
Well, it's the same room. It's the room they started in. Because he's going down to get the ring off the mummy's hand.
He needs it for some reason.
Yeah. So Carol's in there. And all hell breaks loose now.
I don't know what happens.
Does it? Because
I do like the effect of Carol's, her head splitting open and there's like glowing.
That's a good effect. And then, wait a minute. But then also at this point, they cut to the sorcerer and his kid. Right?
Yeah, he's right.
Because earlier he shows the bride... This kid is your son. She freaks and she runs away, and that's when she gets attacked by the witch. And then he says to the kid, now it's your turn to control Carol. But he doesn't say that. He says, it's your turn to control her. And then her head splits open, implying that the little goblin kid is controlling her.
Well, and if we talked about...
It was so confusing.
It was so dumb.
That middle-aged man...
No. It was even weirder than that, because they come in the room, they see Carol, and they're like... She takes a sheet off like a mirror or something. It's like this big reveal.
Yes.
I was like, okay.
Right, you forgot about that.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, I forgot about
and then it cuts back to them in the attic, and he says something like, we don't need Carol anymore or something.
Yeah.
And then it cuts back to her, and her head starts splitting open. They obviously cut something out there. Like,
yeah,
because
the mirror
was
a specific thing.
Yeah.
Like, that's and important.
Then, it was a shot of,
same thing as the acid, and it had nothing to do with it.
And then it comes back, and she's just, her head splitting open, like they had cut out like a whole sequence or something there.
So middle-aged man is like, haha, I've got this axe. And he's getting ready to do something with the axe.
And there's this energy that's making him grow older, right?
Yeah, like they're all, well, like the whole room's like,
not yet.
The axe catches on. Yeah, she does.
Well, then,
the...
so she does something, and the axe catches on fire.
Yeah.
The axe catches on fire, which middle-aged man does not then. So then I'm thinking like, oh, upgrade. Your axe is now on fire. And he's like, oh, my axe is on fire. I gotta
drop this.
He immediately drops it. I was set to throw this, but once it lit on fire, like.
It's useless now.
Yeah, forget it.
I don't want a flaming axe.
And then she says, join us.
Yeah, she does hear. She goes, join us.
And then she.
Except it's in the old Sorcerer Man's voice.
And like electrical storm, just like Carol causes like a weird electrical storm to burst out in the room.
Again, I don't know what the original plot was, but sucking the life out of them because they were growing older.
And moving really slowly.
And then there's this dead guy. It's the dead guy that, what's his name, pulled out of the closet earlier. And the middle-aged guy rips its arm off. And throws it at Carol, who then explodes?
And it hits the Ouija board.
It hits the Ouija board, okay.
End scene.
That's end of movie.
And now, and that ends movie one. Thus ends movie number one.
And so at this point, I'm trying to figure out, is Carol / Deadite dead? I don't know. Are middle-aged man and those people he's with dead?
They're dead, I'll tell you. I saw them.
Okay.
In the end there, they show a quick shot of them laying out outside. The bride's run away, they go down to the, and you can see like a guy in a leisure suit and another person in a white vest like
sweater
the other girl had. Yeah.
Oh yeah.
And they're like laying there. It's a quick shot.
Well, that's a really nice, I gotta say, that's a really nice touch that they clarified if the main characters lived or died.
No, it's a really quick shot. They left the house and they just died on the front lawn.
I don't know if they got killed inside and then
that
they
must have been
out,
that must have been another sequence they cut out to show us more of away.
So stupid.
And then the bride runs away and gets attacked by zombies.
The bride now is like life in her and she like somehow secrets a knife and she's
like, I know what I have to do now, and all she had to do was kill the guy.
Right, yeah.
I mean, she stabs the old guy in the head. Yeah.
Couldn't think of that 70 years ago.
Hey, can we just talk real quick about the sequence where she climbs down the side
of the
house?
Very long sequence.
Well, because they build up this sequence of she's climbing down the side of the house on like
showing her foot slipping and all
that. Yeah, and like there's these constant cutaways like her foot slipping, and it's like they're building this up. Like they're constantly constantly showing you a threat.
And then it doesn't pay off.
And then not
then
paying off.
She jumps down.
And there's
like
all this
away.
Like.
No, no, no. She jumps down. She jumps down, and the monster pops up, and he goes, "Mama."
Oh, that's right. Yeah, I forgot about Mama. Yeah.
But she lands totally
like this
fine.
Other monster. She that was nowhere even, else in the movie.
Yeah, right, she lands fine. Right. Yeah, she doesn't even fall. There's all this like.
Okay, I got down safely.
I'm fine. And then the monster goes, "Mama," and then she's like.
I'm out of here.
And then she runs away. There's
and she gets chased down by about 100 zombies.
Well, there's a freaking five-minute sequence of her being just
grabbed.
They're like ripping her clothes off.
I have a note here. I'm like, we're just got 10 minutes of zombie groping.
Yeah.
Like zombies groping like an 80s bride.
I would have loved to have been an extra on that one.
You know how long has it been? We should time these.
And
now.
Scene.
Yeah.
And we'll be right back. yikes. And so many of these zombies, I'm just going to move on from that. So many of these zombies are in plaid shirts. It looks like they shot it in like modern day like Brooklyn. You know, everyone's got beards and like flannel shirts. I was like,
they went to the construction site and said, hey, you guys want to be in a movie?
Canadian zombies, ladies and gentlemen. Yeah.
Again, all the money went to makeup effects. None went to wardrobe or to transportation. So then the bride is also, she's constantly running into zombies. I don't mean like, oh, zombies are popping up. No, she's running into where the zombies are because they just don't have a lot of real estate, I guess. So you see her make a turn into where she can see there are already zombies standing waiting for her.
And she gets into a car, but there's no keys.
This is so funny. I laughed for like five minutes.
She gets in the car and there's like zombies all around. Yeah. Then this guy is there. He's like, hey, my car. What are you doing in my car?
He goes,
as
hey.
Like zombies clawing at the car.
He goes, hey, lady, what are you doing in my car? And then, like, what is this? He's like, oh, okay. She's like, we got to get out of here. He's like, puts the keys into his station wagon. And they peel off. And then they reveal.
She's like, oh, I'm free.
I'm free.
And she goes, and he's like, he's like, "You're not free yet," or something like that.
He says, "Because I love you too," or something. Yeah. Just like the sorcerer
turns
said.
The cat man.
He turns into the cat man.
And then the tombstone, then the vault at the beginning of the movie that was shaking like it was going to open, opens up. And the guy who was not in it for the entire movie is all of a sudden in it as if he were in it the whole time, chained up, and starts laughing.
And we get like about 45 seconds of ha 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 ha. Ha 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 ha. Here's my question also about the ending. So how does the bride even aware of what a car is?
Because she's supposed to be like 70 years from 85 back. What is that, right? That would be 1905 or something, right?
1915.
Yeah, so 1915? How is she even aware of, like, what this station wagon thing is?
I think she alluded to that she was brought back one other time, didn't she?
Maybe.
I don't know if she knew what the car was, because I'm saying I think she was brought back again. So, like, this might be a third time she was brought back. So maybe she's, in the, 40s, was in a Model T or something. Okay.
So she's like, the Packards have really come along,
right?
All right. Yeah, that was my first thought. I'm like, how is she? Because she seems to also be looking for a key. I'm like, how does she know what's going on here?
Last thing she remembers is probably, like, Model Ts. And that was, like, when, hardly anybody owned them.
That would have been a funny comedic beat if she went out to the front of the station wagon and tried to hand crank it. So that's Spookies. We'll wrap this one up. We can just go around. The movie is crazy. It's so bad. I think it's only so bad it's good if you're a fan of, like, if you're into movie making, you might get a kick out of watching these two movies incredibly awkwardly shoehorned into each other. A lot of that stuff is so bad it's good. But the story is so incoherent, even by the standards of, like, movies we do here, that it's also a hard watch.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So I think it's so bad, though, you do have to watch it one time.
For anyone, I think it requires... especially for anyone interested in filmmaking. I guess I would say that. It's so bad it's good if you're interested in filmmaking, because you'll get a kick out of that stuff. Cody? Well, Cody, you suggested this. Yeah.
I used to say it was the worst movie I'd ever seen until we started doing this podcast, because I've seen worse movies since we started doing this. But I found it on DVD last year, and I was like so freaking excited. It was like a DVD that someone had copied from VHS, and I just enjoy it. I think it's a terrible movie that I enjoy watching.
I can't say this.
Because of atmosphere.
Oh my God. Well, there's a little bit. I'll give you, there's a little bit of atmosphere.
And I thought the makeup and the creatures were cool. So.
That's true. And I would, if somebody said to me, Jack, we'll get Jack's opinion.
Plus, there's at least five laugh out loud moments for me. So,
Jack, for you, was it so bad it's good, or
I don't know. It was just hard to watch. It was fun. I guess I'll put it so bad it's good. I had fun with it, even though it was a pile of crap. I thought it was intriguing, at least from a filmmaking standpoint. Like you said, I was like, this is so obvious, because I was in on the secret. Cody told me a little bit of the backstory, like, oh, it was another director, but.
Yeah, you're writing fan fiction about it now, right?
I am. I'm thinking about it. Yeah.
Well, we don't have a real so wrong it's right question, because the true story of this movie is so crazy. Right. So I just thought people ask their opinion. How much would you be willing to pay to listen to a commentary track on this movie done by the guys who did the original, the Tortured Souls production? The teenager production that was shut down. What would that be worth it to you? I was thinking about that as I'm watching it. And I was like, you know what? I think I would pay $25 just to hear a commentary track from those Tortured Souls guys having to watch this final film and their thoughts on, like, what happened with it.
I think they'd be Tortured Souls.
Yeah.
How much would you pay to see the original 3-hour cut?
Oh, that's true. Well,
I would love to see that.
Oh, God, that would be...
I wonder if that exists still. I want to see that.
I doubt it exists.
It's got to be somewhere.
I would probably pay to see that, too, because I would just be fascinated how there even could be 3 hours.
How could be 3 hours and what the storyline was originally.
Yeah, well, what...
What was the original storyline? I guess they were trapped in this house.
Yeah.
Just...
I don't know. Well, I think there must have been some kind of occult power. The original storyline must have had something to do with occult powers and black magic, but I can't even imagine how it was coming together, or how maybe the spider lady was a bigger part of it. I don't know.
I think she was just one of the monsters. Yeah, I think it was just Carol using the occult to bring these monsters to life.
And, right.
Yeah. And it was just, maybe it was
then
just.
And they had to defeat her. I don't know.
Yeah. By throwing a bone at her.
Yeah.
And throw me a bone.
I guess the ring hit the Ouija board and that ended it, I guess.
I
don't know. Maybe just, again, I'd like
wouldn't
to know.
It be great if the ending of this movie was they had to lure all the monsters up to the second floor porch
and push them off
one at a time so they could blow up into fireballs?
Maybe there's a minefield in that part of the mansion house. I don't know.
That's true.
Yeah.
When you have another sip of a seltzer.
No, I gotta get some water.
Yeah. All right, so we're gonna wrap this one up. As always, we are on Facebook. Stop the Movie I Want to Get Out. If you're already our friend on Facebook, you know this, but the pictures from Sleepaway Camp 2 are amazing, including a incredible picture of a mulleted TC smelling his own armpit in one of the great moments we've ever captured. So definitely be our friends on Facebook. You can follow all of us sitting here on Twitter. Mm-hmm. We have Jack.
Yep, at Jack Estabrook.
Cody.
At Cody A. Wolf.
And Andy Wolf, the authorized parody account. Semi-authorized?
Randy Like the Wolf.
Randy Like
the
Wolf.
Is that what it is?
I believe it is.
Right.
And you can follow the show at Wind Up Films. So, yeah, I think that that brings this episode to a close. We'll be back with more horrible horror in October.
Horrible Halloween.
Yeah.
Horrible.
Boy, there's no better way to close than that. Who's gonna top that? We'll see you back here next week, everyone.
He's leaving. Yeah.